You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Screener Squad. On today's episode, we will be reviewing The Perfect Date, a movie by Chris Nelson starring a bunch of lesser-known actors. You've probably not really heard about them, but basically the premise of the movie is this guy is trying desperately to get into Yale, but has kind of no personality and just uses a bunch of buzzwords that people from Yale kind of already know. So he decides to create this dating app to kind of just like go and explore his life and try to figure out who he is. And that's our setup. And if you're wondering who I am, my name is Alan. You've probably heard me from the Gotham podcast, the Game of Thrones podcast, and a bunch of other screeners. But I'm not alone. Who am I with? Why don't you introduce yourself, Bradley?
Yes, Bradley Martin. I'm also from the Screener Squad, one of the regulars. And during award season, I'm on Eye on the Prize.
All righty, then. So, yeah, I guess let's just jump right in. What are your first thoughts about The Perfect Date, which premiered on Netflix a few days ago, I believe?
Well, that was already a really apt plot synopsis you gave us. Brooks Redigan, you know, even his name is two buzzwords, is on a trip to self-discovery. And like most college admission films, really, it's not so much about getting into college, but getting into life.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely one of those coming of age of like, man, I don't know what I want to do with my life, but everything about my life is so unbelievably perfect except for this one little thing. And it's honestly just kind of a pay-my-numbers movie about like trying to discover who you are. And this guy has really no personality. He's just like, oh, I just want to be in Yale because that's the right thing to do, right? And he has his friend who's like, oh, man, I can help you out with this kind of stuff, like getting you in Yale, get you the money needed. And that's basically kind of what the movie's about, because it jumps into a bunch of, like, he basically becomes a stand-in, so women specifically will call him on this app, and he'll be whatever personality they need to be. You need to be a douchebag to piss off my dad? He'll dress up in, you know, rap gear and be a douchebag. You want me to be a facetious art person? I'll go to the art auction with you. And that's basically what we get a majority of the chunk of the movie, is him basically master disguising his way through it.
Yeah, and it really juxtaposes the social media age very well with this app he's created. Like back in my day, to impress someone, you would kind of learn what they like and try to play to those strengths based on what you knew about it. Now, this app helps him and essentially everybody watching this film kind of navigate how that's really what social media is. You know, just portraying who you want people to think you are and who you want them to think you are in an instant. And it's a kind of a horrifying concept, but it plays really well in terms of comedy.
Well, it's kind of doing that whole coming of age of like, oh, I need to fake myself in order to make it. But then I forget kind of who I am. And it plays really, it's really paying my numbers. The only real difference is it's pretty modernized, because it's like, well, this is how kids are now with social media and how Twitter and Facebook, and you can make apps on the spot to do whatever the fuck you want as all the plot dictates.
Yeah.
It. And you always have that friend who's, you know, but again, it goes through the paint by numbers. You have the friend that creates the app because he's really, really smart, but then gets pissed off because you leave him because of reasons. And then you have the other person who, you know, one of your friends you're dealing with, who kind of gets pissed off because you're becoming fake. But it's weird because the movie just straight tells you these things are happening, but as the actual plot of it goes on, it feels like none of this actually happens, but the movie says it happens. Like, his friend at some point, like, eventually he kind of just, you know, gets rid of his friend, but that really doesn't happen. They just don't hang out, like, once or twice.
No.
The girl he ends up dealing with, Cecilia, who basically helped start this whole thing, she starts getting mad. It's like, oh, you're so fake. It's like, you kind of knew and helped me out with this. It seems really unclear why people were so quick to dismiss him when, one, they knew what he was doing, and two, he just was kind of acting like his normal self. It just felt like the movie's like, okay, no, we have to be mad at him so that we can continue to have conflict for the movie to keep going.
Yeah, and as you were saying, the app, you know, that his friend Murph, He's like Cher. It's it's just Murph, you know, no last name.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
Odysseus Georgiadis is the, apologize if I mispronounce the name, but he's the actor. He's been in a lot of teen stuff. I've seen him around. My kids are at that age where they watch those type of shows. But he creates the app, and Brooks uses the app. And some people, you know, every once in a while make gigolo jokes. And while you, the audience member, is waiting for the shoe to drop where, oh, man, he actually is a gigolo. Or, oh, man, what a huge blow to his self-esteem or his emotions as a person or the fact that he's being treated like a piece of meat. That never comes. So, really, I'm not sure why the app was a bad idea, at least as this movie presents it. Yeah, it seemed like pretty clever and actually kind of good-hearted and good-natured if the way it's presented.
They try to have the other girl, Laura Monroe. I think she's been kind of like side role. I think she was in Lady Bird for a part role. But she basically acts as kind of trying to be like, oh, you're actually a douchebag. You're actually a lawyer. You're this, you're that. And it's like, even though that she's saying those words, the movie never presents this as a bad thing. The movie presents it as a, hey, check out this guy. He's so cool. He's doing all this stuff. He's able to be, again, master of disguise. He could be any personality he wants to be. But it never treats it as a bad thing. It never treats him like it's affecting him. He's just normal. His personality and his character doesn't grow until the last maybe 5 minutes of the movie because it feels like, the movie has to end. I have to grow, right? It's like, did you learn anything? I don't think you learned a single thing besides you're really good at lying. This movie sends, if anything, this movie sends a complete opposite message that you're really, really fucking good at lying, to the extent where one of the other characters that he's basically trying to court for real calls him out, like, well, at least, you know, I might be a douche, but at least I'm not a liar like you are. That's really the only time he really feels that, but the movie brushes that off so quickly so they can have a romance ending, and that gets to the point where it's like, what's, if this movie's trying to have a message, I think the message is just don't be yourself and hope it works out.
Oh, that's a terrible message.
That feels what the movie is, because he gets no consequences for basically lying to every single person he ever meets, gets a girl basically just by, for the first time since the movie starts, actually tells the truth, and the only person that doesn't like him is a rich aristocrat that he probably was never going to get with anyway. He is, that dating app where he does whatever the hell he wants and lies to as many people as possible to get money has zero downsides. He never got a single bad thing from that dating app.
No, and he actually helped a lot of people out in, like, a genuine, nice way, you know? Actually, a very kind, like, nice, kind. I'm sorry I'm using the same words here, but it was, like, okay. This guy is so charming and sweet. He's got, like, no teeth. He's practically a Twilight vampire because he's not going to bite. He's not going to hurt. And everyone he comes into contact with treats him like shit in a way. And he reciprocates that with, oh, I'll be better. Let me help you out. And, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, I am sure that that's an easy character to root for. And I certainly did through the whole movie, you know, along with the romantic ride here. But like you said, his big growth was almost like a common sense moment to his already pretty normal, pretty stable, happy-go-lucky, nice, kind-spirited life. So...
Try to throw in the typical conflict that you see in these of like, oh, I got a divorced parent that's really affecting me, and you know, my mom left my, you know, kind of deadbeat dad. And it's like, besides that, if you really, like, obviously divorce is a big issue for a lot of kids to deal with, but if you take that away, his life is pretty perfect because he can go to any college he wants because he had a full ride, almost no problems. But they throw in this, like, I want to say they throw in this cliche, you know, flaw so that he can affect it, but it doesn't really ever seem to bother him because he treats his dad kind of like crap throughout the course of this movie until near the end. So it feels like the whole parent dynamic doesn't really affect him. It was just thrown in there because if this guy had a normal, stable family, he'd have zero character flaw. So let's use divorced parents as a character flaw, but it never really affects the plot of the movie in any way, shape, or form until near the end when the dad's like, okay, you know, hey, you're trying to figure out who the hell you are. It's like, yeah, don't worry about that. Just live by the moment. You'll figure it out as you go along. And it's like, that's a great message. That's probably the only good message this entire movie is when the dad's talking to him.
No, I agree. See, I think that, like, the word you used earlier, buzzwords, I think that's how this was kind of written. Like, yeah. Divorced, buzzword. Millennial kid, buzzword. App, buzzword. So you have these buzzwords, but no, like, story behind them. Like, I really wanted to know, how did he feel when his mom walked out? And when did the mom walk out? Was it last month? Was it when he was a child? Do you recall them ever bringing up any in-depth
it's been at least a couple of years, at least, because it's like it said at one point his dad was like a successful short story writer, but then he kind of just fell off and never recovered. So let's just say it's been at least a couple of years. And that's one of the things that threw me off is, except for, okay, his friend and the other female lead, they look like they could be, you know, they're about to graduate high school. This guy looks like a 20-something. So when he's dating high schoolers, I have to like be like, this is kind of weird. Oh, wait, he's 17. Right. This guy looks like he's 20-something. He looks like, again, funny enough, I was about to say, he looks like he'd be someone on Riverdale, the television show that's also on Netflix, except there's somebody in the movie that's from that exact show, and she doesn't look like she's supposed to be here, so... But again, it's supposed to be one of those things where, oh, it's been a couple of years, it's really weighing him down, but it really doesn't. It never feels like it does. It never feels like anything bad ever really happens to him, except when the movie's like, okay, now we have to kind of feel sad for him. Even though, yeah, your message of this movie is keep lying and hope it works out, because it literally almost gets him into Yale just because he lies about being a beekeeper. Like, because usually when you have those kinds of movies of lying until you get, it's like a... I can't remember the movie on top of my head, but you've seen this kind of character type of like, oh, eventually people just start catching up with the lies, and eventually you realize, oh, I gotta be myself, I can't keep being all these other people. But that moment never comes. That moment never fucking happens in this movie. So it's really annoying when the end of it goes, well, I guess it worked out for him.
No, and you're right. He has a couple of lies up in the air, and they stay up in the air, and he just, you know, smirks his charming smirk, and he's got really nice hair. Uh-huh. So it thanks you for watching, and I'm pretty sure it ends like a DreamWorks picture, which is dancing, you know, not really a spoiler, much. But yeah, I was really excited to see how he was going to pull off the beekeeper thing. You know, I was coming of age decades ago, and you know, I would watch that asshole Zach Morris, you know, from Saved by the Bell, get caught up in lies. So I thought, okay, I'm down with this movie. I could use a teenager like being like, oh no, I need to. Reality has forced me to learn a lesson because lies are exploding in my face. But the pins are never pulled on these lie grenades, so he gets out scot-free.
Man, the movie kind of goes out of its way to be like, yeah, there's literally characters going, thank you for that. Thank you for helping me on this date. I'm like, were you trying to go for the fact that he's helping these people with their confidence? Which I guess is the only thing, like the only slightly positive thing. But I think we basically tore this movie up enough. So
no, I really didn't I mean guess... to, but yeah, we did.
We did. So yeah, I'll throw it to you, Bradley. You got any final words on this?
Well, the problem with the movie, not problem, just the presentation of the film. Noah Centineo as Brooks Radigan, you know, Radigan, the world's most famous rat. He's very charming. I like his charisma. His douchebag performance on one of his dates, I thought it was great. That was hilarious. And really kind of made his already perfect character seem more perfect. So if there's a Mary Sue term for a perfect man in a date movie, it's definitely him. And it's like, it's funny you said, well, I guess it could have been about him boosting confidence. A guy like this could walk up to any girl that looked kind of down, or any guy, and kind of smirk and be like, hey, man, everything's going to be okay. You matter. You matter. I got your back. And then walked off. And that person would feel great. You know, there's no need for all these crazy app shenanigans to do that. But I really enjoyed Laura Morano as the angry, you know, super woke, I guess the term is, for kids these age. Aggressive, feisty is another term, a buzzword they'd use for her. She kind of reminds me of a young Alison Brie, not just in looks, but in her like comedic timing, and that was fun. I've seen Odessi's Georgiadis in a bunch of other shows. I hope he goes far, though. He hasn't really got a role that demands much of him, but I think he's pretty charming as well. Camila Mendez is my favorite actress from Riverdale. Only made it through season one, mind you. Way behind, but I enjoyed her a lot in her performance in the Riverdale crew. And just closing, the only thing that really, really bothered me about this kind of harmless movie was the creeper dad at Shelby's party. Like, there was a 30-second scene where Shelby's like, oh, there's my dad, I'll get rid of him. And it looked like he was leaning in and talking close with his teenager, and she's like, Dad, you get out of here. I'm like, was that a...
I must have missed that.
was that kind of joke in this clearly family-friendly movie? I don't know how to feel about that. But I didn't hate it. I didn't necessarily like it. So I'm going to give this 5 swipe lefts on 10 date me apps.
Okay, no, well put. One of these is it's an updated formula to the coming of age story. You know, kid trying to figure out where he is in life, and turns out if he just bees himself, that's all he really needs. It doesn't really do the formula, and on if anything, it kind of just shows how tried and how upset this formula really is, and how it just really needs to be updated properly, not just throw in a bunch of millennial shit and hope it works out. And yeah, that's basically kind of how I feel about this. I feel like they try, though. I wouldn't say anything in here is badly acted. I don't think anyone in here really badly acted. It's just I don't think they were given proper direction or even proper script. But everyone in here was a decent actor. I believe that they were who they wanted to be. Especially, yeah, like you're saying, during a lot of the date scenes, I'm like, wow, this guy really knows how to pull off these kind of character types that you'd see in any movie. So it's like everyone in here is a good actor. It's just I don't think that they necessarily were given anything really to work with besides this really trailer fodder movie. So I'd basically give it, 2 out of 10 on my way to Yale track points.
Dang. You know, I'm surprised given the time and how I'd probably guessing rush this filming was that they didn't admit any admission scandal jokes or get involved into any of that.
I don't think anyone wants to touch that.